Welcome to the Sunday Soother Advice Cast, a podcast that takes your dilemmas and gives you insightful advice about how to get to know yourself better and live life in a more meaningful way. I'm your host, Catherine Andrews, a writer and holistic personal development coach and author of the Sunday Soother newsletter. Here, I'll take your questions, reframe your narratives, and give you actionable advice that I promise you will actually have you thinking about how to do things in a different way. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Season 2 of the Sunday Soother Advice Cast. I am so glad to be back. And if you've been reading the Sunday Soother newsletter, you know I've been up to kind of a lot of stuff. But we are not here to talk about me. We are here to talk about you. And in particular today, a serious question that on its surface is about the decision to have kids. But as usual, underneath is about so much more. Change, judgment, fear, projection, feminism. It's a lot, and we're going to dive into it all. But first, you may have heard that I am having a Sunday Soother Advice Cast contest and giveaway. It is my first ever giveaway, and I am super stoked about it. Here is the deal. I'm giving away a free coaching package along with a super comprehensive holistic assessment of one lucky listener. I will hop on a call with you for an hour, hear what you're looking to work through, send you my customized holistic intake assessment that will give a deep read into all of the stuff that you might be dealing with. Then I'll do one more call where I offer you insights and practices to take forward in your life. And it is super easy to enter. All you have to do is leave a, hopefully, 5-star review of the Sunday Soother Advice Cast on iTunes. Please write your review, leave your Twitter or Instagram handle in the review so I know how to contact you in case you win, and voila, you will be entered. If you've already left a review for the Sunday Soother Advice Cast, well, thank you first. And second, I think you can just go back in and edit your review with your Twitter or Instagram handle and information, and you'll be automatically entered. You want to get a double entry in the contest? All you have to do is share any of my Instagram posts or stories, and I'm Catherine with a C, Catherine Andrews on Instagram, and tag me, recommending the Sunday Soother newsletter and advice cast, and that will count as a separate entry. The contest is going to run through the end of October, so get on in there, and thank you so much. Okay, housekeeping is over. Let's dive into the question, and the question's kind of long, and I'm going to read most of it, so settle in. Today's listener asks, in a previous episode, you spoke about imposter syndrome, and your suggestions were very helpful for me as a person who deals with this on a regular basis. In the context of the question you answered, this person was returning to work after having had a baby, and you acknowledged that they are now a different person, and that's okay, and that what they're feeling is okay because they are different now. I have a different issue regarding potential parenthood and the anxiety surrounding it. Myself, I've always been a career-oriented individual, but my husband and I are now talking about having a kid. I am, all caps, freaking out because, quote unquote, society says that you must breastfeed, you must be a stay-at-home mom, you must immediately fall in love with your child and profess your love of them more than anything else, or else you're a terrible parent, and what's worse, you're a terrible woman. We are told over and over again that we can't fully understand life or love unless we have kids, despite my fact of having lived and loved for 34 years without them. And these societal expectations are completely and totally opposite of who I am right now and the kind of woman I want to continue to be. Everyone says that having kids changes you, but I don't want to change. I want to stay myself, in my brain, the way it is now, and continue to be the person I am, but with a kid added to the story. I'm terrified that having a kid will brainwash me with hormones and I'll become this vapid version of myself who is no longer focused on her career, and the person who I am today will cease to exist. The current societal view of the quote-unquote perfect mother is an anti-feminist icon, and I can't in good conscience, nor do I have any desire to, be that quote-unquote perfect stay-at-home mommy blogger, especially when past feminists have fought tooth and nail for the benefits I currently reap in the workforce. So, in summary, I'm afraid of getting pregnant because I'm afraid of the societal expectations of motherhood that are, in my opinion, the antithesis of feminism. The woman I currently am, and who I want to continue to be. I don't want to be judged. And I know if I don't meet these expectations that I will be judged. Woo! Ah! Okay. Well, okay. Thank you so much for sending in this question. It sounds like, you know, you're really dealing with some deep and scary feelings here around a potentially big change. And I think a lot of other stuff. So there's a lot to break down in this question, and I'm going to get into it all. So I'm going to break down my answer into four areas and sort of talking about four different concepts. First, projection and judgment. Second, fear of change. Third, black and white thinking. And fourth, grace and mercy. And then at the end of the episode, I'm introducing a new segment for these questions I get, the homework corner. I don't know if that's a great name, but I'm just going to go with it for now. I'm going to give the person who asked a question a few exercises, a book recommendation, and a practice or two that I think can help you, and hopefully will help the other listeners out there who might see themselves in any of these questions. And hopefully these will help you move forward and think about the situation in a little bit of a different way. So that segment will be at the end of the episode, so make sure to listen all the way through. Okay, let's get going. So first, I'm going to dive into the concepts of projection and judgment and how they can play out for people and how they might relate to your question. I bring these concepts of projection and judgment up in response to this question because there's a lot of that revealed in your email to me. I don't want to sound harsh, and I hope you can stay with me here, but something I have learned in my work. So when somebody says that someone else or something else is always X, Y, or Z, or people must do so and so, and we're judging them for that thing, or we're thinking of it in that way, we are almost always projecting a fear or belief of our own that we are afraid to look at onto something or someone else. That is what projection is. So, you know, an official definition, psychological projection involves attributing the feelings and thoughts we don't like in ourselves to those around us instead, without even realizing we are doing so. So it's important to tie projection and judgment together. I'm going to read a blog excerpt from Lynn Forrest, who's a counselor who works on consciousness and victimhood, and I'll link to it in the show notes. She writes, "Here's how negative judgment and projection work together. As soon as we see something about ourselves that we disapprove of or find unacceptable, we tend to criticize and judge ourselves harshly. We tell ourselves we shouldn't be that way, that it indicates that we're not doing that process right, or we're not evolved enough, that there's something wrong with us, that we are dumb, and so on and so on. Such self-critique and condemnation is very painful, so we find ourselves avoiding these harsh self-criticisms. It's sort of like we go unconscious around the thing we've judged as unacceptable about us. Certainly, at the least, we push it down. But of course, the painful judgments don't just go away because we don't like them. If anything, the resentment we feel towards ourselves festers and gets bigger the more we judge our quote-unquote shortcomings. Sooner or later, we need an escape from our own self-judgments. The pain of self-criticism drives us inevitably to denial, which does not resolve our self-criticisms or lead to a place of healing through self-acceptance, but instead leads automatically to the act of projecting our self-negating judgments onto some other recipient. In other words, we inevitably judge others for the very things we have condemned and rejected about ourselves." Okay, so you wrote in your question, society says you must breastfeed, you must be a stay-at-home mom, you must immediately fall in love with your child, or else you're a terrible parent and a terrible woman. Okay, so if we take into account the concepts of projection and judgment, there is a strong possibility that these must statements and these terrible statements are actually your own thoughts and beliefs and judgments and fears that you are projecting onto the abstract concept of society. So the reality is I'm not a mom, but almost all of my female friends are, and I have never heard anybody live or say this stuff. I mean, I do think it is hard to be a mom, especially like a mom, 2019, career, everything. Like, so I'm not denying any of that. And I do think I also have some very thoughtful and enlightened friends. So it depends on where you're coming from and the expectations in your particular community and situation. But my mom friends have brought them full selves to their pregnancies and motherhood, and they've all also had vastly different experiences. And it's been hard in some cases, but in most ways, you know, they're thriving. And this is a mix of stay-at-home moms, working moms, moms who breastfed like past 1 year old, moms who went straight to formula, and a lot more. So you need to really ask yourself, where did your belief, where did all of your musts, where did the story that you're telling yourself about how mothers are perceived in society today, where did it come from? Who taught you that? And what do you really think of mothers and motherhood? You, not what you think society thinks. This is a serious question. You know, you really have to ask yourself this and not go straight to, well, society thinks. You have to say, I think about motherhood, and sort of go from there. Okay, so we're going to move on to our second concept, which is fear of change. And fear of change is completely reasonable, especially with something as big as motherhood. This is something I've seen in almost every single one of my friends who eventually decided to have kids. They struggled with what their lives might look like and how things were going to change, because they were definitely going to change after having kids. You know, they were scared, they were apprehensive, they worried about their bodies, their careers, their marriages, you know, their sense of identity, like all of that. So that's totally normal. And change is difficult for everyone. And there are few people that don't feel somewhat anxious at the prospect of a major upheaval in their lives. But the problem comes when fear of change keeps people paralyzed. And to tell you my own story, I very much experienced fear of change throughout my entire life. I was raised in a family that, while it was pretty loving and stable, the message was sent both explicitly and implicitly that change was terrifying, change was risk, change was dangerous, change was even life-threatening. And I look back now and I see all of the times in which this made my life so small, and also in which it made me resist the natural flow of life and made everything much more difficult than it ever had to be. Because the fact is that we are always changing and things around us are always changing. And you are going to change whether or not you want to have a kid, and you're going to change whether or not you have a kid. In fact, there's no doubt in my mind that you are not the same person today as when you wrote me this question a couple of months ago. You've already changed. So it is important to take a look at your relationship to change overall. What do you think of change? Are you comfortable with it? What about change scares you? Working within change can be hard, but it can be useful to take a look at your life and ask yourself, you know, what are your routines? What are things you might never change? And the way to eventually work up to being more comfortable with bigger changes is to find ways to make very small, almost so small they seem like they couldn't possibly matter, but they do, changes. So ask yourself, what are your routines and systems that are set up that you never change? Could you try tweaking them or changing them? Is there a small area in which you could introduce a change? You know, some examples are, could you take a different way to work? Could you go to a different breakfast spot than normal? You know, could you wear something that you might never wear? These small changes sort of seem maybe silly, but they actually really help. Okay, so the next concept, the third concept, is black and white thinking. And your email reveals a lot of black and white thinking to me. In therapeutic or psychological contexts, black and white thinking is referred to as a cognitive distortion. So according to positivepsychology.com, cognitive distortions are defined as biased perspectives we take on ourselves and the world around us. They are irrational thoughts and beliefs that we unknowingly reinforce over time. These patterns and systems of thoughts are often subtle. It's difficult to recognize them when they are a regular feature of your day-to-day thoughts. That's why they can be so damaging, since it's hard to change what you don't recognize as something that needs to change. So when your thinking is revealed by your email to me, motherhood is an all or nothing prospect. Once you have a kid, you're immediately transformed into something else and totally judged by all of society. So this is what we would call a black or white thinking approach, and it is not true. So it is important for you to start to notice where you go all or nothing in terms of thinking in other areas of your life, and see if you can start to work to find a middle ground between an all or nothing that might be truer. I'll offer an exercise related to this at the end of the podcast. So the fourth concept and the final one I'd like to talk about is grace and mercy. I always find it helps to sort of define these abstract terms we might throw around. So grace is defined as a disposition to or an act or instance of kindness, courtesy, or clemency. Mercy is defined as compassion or forbearance shown, especially to an offender or to one subject to one's power. I want you to ask yourself, what role do grace and mercy play in your life? It seems to me that you don't expect much of either from anybody else. So when that's the case, I often ask clients, where do you show that thing to others in your life? Where do you show grace and mercy in your case to others? Where do you show it to yourself? So in case it helps, here's a story from my own life that might help sort of around this concept. And it kind of relates to grace and mercy, but for me, it's mostly about asking for help. So I was raised to think that asking others for help was a burden, right? It was, I would be putting them out of sorts. I would be inconveniencing them. It would show them that I couldn't do stuff on my own, that I didn't know, I didn't have the answer. So what happened then is because I was raised to ask others, I was raised to think that asking others was a total inconvenience, asking others for help. Then when people would ask me for help, I was super resentful. I was like, don't they get that this is a total inconvenience, a total like burden on my time? I was super judgmental. I was like, don't they know they can handle that themselves? Don't they know like I probably have better things to do? And this sounds extreme, but this is like really my thought process for basically a lot of my 20s. And it wasn't helping me, right? Like what I started realizing is that people were eager to give help to one another in many cases. And when I started making those tiny little inroads into asking for help more, my thinking sort of eventually shifted. I realized that when people asked of help from me, you know, in a lot of cases, they were asking for connection. They were saying they trusted me. They were showing me their vulnerability and humanity. And I had been doing none of these things my entire life by thinking that asking for help was a burden. I had lived in a very walled off way, very safe, judgmental spot, like in my little hypothetical castle where I was safe, but sort of everybody else was living in this thriving community oriented life outside the castle walls. And yeah, it was messy. And yeah, it was sometimes scary, but they were living out there and they were connecting and they were helping each other and they were asking for help and they were giving help. And they were thriving, right? So I ask you to reflect, you know, in the way you wrote your letter about all of the expected judgments and criticisms you assume you will receive in motherhood. What has led you to expect such a lack of grace and mercy from others in your life or society? And then where do you show grace and mercy to others? Where do you judge and criticize others, perhaps? And how did those patterns of thinking come to be? You know, where do they come from? Because they always came from somewhere. Okay, so let's try to put some of this into action, and it is time for the aforementioned homework corner. I have a few brief things for you to try. First, as I talked about, where did your story of judgment around motherhood come from? What was the story you were told about mothers growing up? And what was your own mother like? And for listeners out there, you can fill in motherhood with like anything that you might be dealing with, sort of the same thinking about, or any judgments that you have, right? So in this case, the listener is talking about motherhood, but any shoulds or musts that you apply to in your life, you can put into this question and ask yourself, where did your story of that come from? Second, work to find some expanders or role models. Something that can be very powerful in a case like this is to find people who remind us of ourselves out there in the world, living life and doing the things we want to do, but might be afraid of doing, but they are succeeding. These role models are doing it. So when you find these role models, and it can be real life people or people like in movies or TV shows, this really shows our brains that these things are possible in a way that we hadn't thought about before. So find folks in your life or on TV shows who remind you of you, but are also mothers and are thriving both in motherhood and in their careers. And finding these role models will allow you to sort of expand your thinking, your very narrow thinking about what motherhood must be. Okay, third, for black and white thinking, what can be useful here is trying an exercise of listing options. Black and white thinking locks us into only two outcomes or possibilities, so a useful exercise can be to write down as many other options as you can imagine between the first and the second, the only two that you can imagine. So right now in your head, your only two outcomes of having, or your only two outcomes going forward, sorry, are one, not have a kid and everything stays exactly the same, and two, have a kid and you get horribly judged and change in ways you do not want to change. So the exercise here is to write down at least three alternatives and possibilities between these two very black and white thinking outcomes. It could be, you know, I have a kid and it's hard, but it expands my life in ways I didn't realize, or I have a kid and I stay at home for a while and realize I really like that. You know, you can let your imagination sort of run wild, you know, make them realistic possibilities, but give it a shot. It might feel a little hard at first. It doesn't matter that it feels right or natural. It's probably going to feel awkward to write those in between possibilities, but give it a try. So fourth, as I mentioned earlier, it can be really useful to find some ways you can experiment with small change in your life in order to prepare for bigger change and an overall more comfortable relationship with change. This can be really simple. So try a different coffee spot or a different route to work. Read a different kind of book than you might normally. Like, I only ever read fiction, and like sometimes now I read sci-fi books because I was like, this could be fun and useful and just different, right? Try a new workout class. Wear a color you never normally wear. Getting comfortable with small changes, the kind of changes you think are so small they can't possibly make a difference, is key to eventually being able to make bigger changes. And fifth and final, I would read some books about change. It is pretty basic, but Who Moved My Cheese is a great and simple parable about change and its inevitability and how we can all become more comfortable with change. You can also try out Daring Greatly, How the Courage to be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead by Brené Brown. She encourages us to look at shame and vulnerability and how moving towards vulnerability can enable us to feel more satisfied and fulfilled and authentic in our lives, and how we can sort of flow more with change that will happen. So whatever happens, listener, I wish you the best of luck and all the kindness and blessings that you deserve, and you do deserve them. Life is hard. Change is hard. I get it. All of this messiness can be very, very scary. But from here, I believe you're going to be okay no matter what happens, and no matter what things may slip out of your control as you move forward in all you do. And I hope with all of my heart that you can learn to believe it too. Okay, that's it for today's Sunday See There Advice Cast. If you have questions or advice and ideas for the topics we discussed on today's show, you can email me at kathdandrews@gmail.com. or head to tinyletter.com/candrews to submit them anonymously. You can also find me on Instagram at Katherine Andrews, and you can find my coaching services and more information about me at katherinedandrews.com. Thank you so much for listening, and here's to living the week ahead with lots of thoughtfulness, connection, and meaning.